not use them in the
And when we understood the entrance of the church, it looked just like that. But the gigantic dome. Well, the guy said, oh, let's walk up underneath it. And he went underneath it, and he went out. And it's obvious he's building out the dome. They ran out of money. So they brought someone in to paint it. It had three-dimensional design.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the October 1st meeting of Orrville City Council. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Chuck Davis. Would you please stand?
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. This is the day that you've made, and we rejoice together. We are so glad, and thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for these committed men and women, Lord, that have sacrificed and dedicated their time to serving this community. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them with wisdom, give them strength and courage to make the decisions that need to be made, Lord God. I pray that you would give them boldness, Lord, as they, Lord, walk through this time that you have given to them, Lord God. And as they serve this city, let them do so humbly, Lord God, and keeping you focused in all their decisions. And Lord, we give you the praise for this time now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
And roll call, please.
Chu.
Here.
Wilson.
He's excused.
Asperis Jr.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Spear Sr.
Here.
Korfman.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from September 17th. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes?
Nope. I move we accept the minutes of the previous meeting.
Thank you. Need a second, please. Second, Mr. Spears.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has no report this evening.
Thank you. Utilities, Mr. Korfman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has no reports.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and safety has no report tonight either.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation will have no report. Mr. Wilson is excused. Transportation. Mr. Shu.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have any report tonight, but we're just still dealing with the construction. I'm sure Mr. Wheel will give us an update on the progress.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is a petition for an alley vacation parallel to Vine and Main between lots 1022 and 623. We will hold a public hearing and then vote on that, I think, next week. But just to announce that will happen.
Okay. Do we have a date for the public hearing, or is that going to be at our next meeting?
I believe we'll have it at our next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
That's been recommended by the Planning Commission.
Okay. It's been recommended by the Planning Commission, and all the owners, adjacent owners, have signed off, so there shouldn't be a whole lot of issue, but we need to hold a public hearing just in case.
Okay. Thank you. Ordinance and personnel. Mr. Lorson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and personnel has not met, and we have no report.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one item I'd like to mention, and that would be just another plea for people when they're mowing grass, especially when it gets long, when we have rainy spells, not to blow that all out in the street. I see that on all over areas of town. To some people, that might seem like a nitpicky thing to gripe about, but there are special reasons. Number one, the grass gets washed down to our drains, can clog up the drains, and so if we have heavy rains, that can cause trouble. Number two, it's unsafe for bicyclists and motorcycles, especially the amounts of grass that I see some people putting out there. I understand fully that sometimes you just get into, that's the way I mow the yard and that's the way I blow it, but if you do that, it would be certainly helpful if after you're done, take a blower or a broom and sweep it up in a pile and pick it up. But I know we've mentioned this before. I've talked about it in our articles. We actually had a call today from somebody in town, a citizen, wanting to know if we have an ordinance preventing people from blowing the grass in the street, and we do not. We've talked about it before, well before this morning. Obviously, one of the tougher issues about that kind of an ordinance is enforcing it, and so it's one of those things. But just once again, ask people to please not blow the grass all out into the street. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Projects continue on. They're actually moving pretty smoothly, other than the some bad weather last week. The ODOT Main Street project, the south end base repairs are complete. They're now working on the intermediate layer from the south city limits to the downtown concrete area. And then once they can finish that, they'll bounce on to the other side of the concrete on the north end of Main and get started there. OPWC, the intermediate layer is down. They're now replacing curbs and ADA ramps, and then they'll move on to the catch basin replacement as well before the final layer. The Dominion Gas Line project has started. They're currently working on Smucker Street, and then we'll cross over onto West High. Just a reminder, most of that project is open cut, and the sidewalks will be replaced by Dominion. And we do expect there to be some work done on East High Street, a little bit of joint repair there. So that will affect some traffic flows in the next week or two, so we'll get some more updates out on that once we have a final schedule. That's my report for tonight.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Wheel, how far north on 57 will ODOT be going?
They are going to the city limits.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's just before Back Mass Lane?
That's actually just after White Ford.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question for you, too.
Sure.
Just in this dovetails a little bit on the mayor's comments about the grass, and I know that leaf season is coming up, too. And I wonder when we get started on that.
We usually get started in November.
Okay.
I may have a schedule for you by the next meeting. I'll have to get with John Scott and see if they're ready to get that out. Yeah, but yes, but at the latest, we'll have it available the first meeting in November.
Right. And I just mentioned then that it's equally as important that people don't rake their leaves into the gutter, too, because that'll clog a catch basin just like that.
Great point, sir. Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Move to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brettinger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of informational items. This week, continuing for the next 2 to 3 weeks, depending on weather, we will be beginning the hydrant flushing throughout the city. The Water Department will be doing that in different phases throughout the city, and again, that'll take place about the next 3 weeks. So just exercising caution in that area. There will just be a brief time when there will be some water in the streets. Also this week, we will start some emission testings on our boilers 10 through 12. These are our coal units. These are EPA-mandated tests that occur twice every 5 years. So if you see some folks climbing our stack this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, those will be the good guys. And last week, the mayor and I attended the AMP annual conference up in Cleveland. We did attend some pretty useful seminars this time. One of those dealt with issues on drones. We've had some discussions with that with the city administration. And the other item that did come out of that, Orville was elected for another 3-year term on the AMP Board of Trustees. And that would conclude my comments tonight.
Thank you. Questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Mr. Brigger, I see you got your pipe for the water line.
Yes.
Or at least some of it, or all of it. Do you have any idea yet?
Mid-month.
A month?
Middle of October.
Of this month?
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Brigger.
You're welcome.
I'll move to our finance director, Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has no report this evening.
Thank you. Our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. For my report this evening, just want to congratulate all of the athletes that are working hard this fall. We have our football team across country. Tennis, volleyball. We have a lot of young athletes that really work hard, and I think we need to appreciate every bit of work that they do, because it's more than just 3 hours on a Friday night. Those athletes work hard at practices each night. So keep that in mind when you think about those youngsters that are out there. They do work hard. That concludes my report for this evening. There is no old business scheduled. We'll move to new business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution 2718. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Spiros.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spiros Sr.?
Yes.
Workman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Spiros Jr.?
Yes.
Resolution 2718, a resolution strongly opposing State Issue 1.
Okay. Did we want Chief Birkbeck to give a little bit of a synopsis here for that issue?
Yes, sir. I would ask Chief Birkbeck to step up to the podium and speak to this. State Issue 1 has a potentially dramatic effect on our safety forces, which is why I think Chief Birkbeck would be the best one to speak to its potential impact.
Thank you.
This is coming up in the November election, and you're starting to see more and more about this issue. The county prosecutor, Dan Lutz, recently wrote a public letter, and I'm going to summarize that because I thought he did a really good job. I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'm going to pick the things that I feel pretty strongly about that he wrote in this. He stated, State Issue 1 is an out-of-state-sponsored Ohio constitutional amendment mandating that felony drug possession offenses become misdemeanors with no possibility of jail time until a third conviction within a 2-year period. He goes on to say that should State Issue 1 pass, Ohio will have the most lenient drug laws in the nation. Those caught with any amount of any drug, including but not limited to carfentanil, fentanyl, cocaine, LSD, methamphetamine, and GHB, which is a date rape drug, will potentially face no effective consequences. Now, the carfentanil and the fentanyl we've heard a lot about here recently. The carfentanil is a very, very dangerous drug. That's the one where we're starting to see about a year or two ago where people were overdosing and dying almost immediately from that. And we have just recently got down where we had some measures passed at the state level to help us prosecute those cases because they really didn't have effective legislation at the state level to prosecute the fentanyl and the carfentanyl. So this would kind of actually just undo all the work that we recently did down in Columbus. He goes on to say that State Issue 1 also allows for the reduction of dangerous criminals' prison sentences up to 25%. Now, this is interesting because you might think that this is just a drug law that they're trying to pass, but this will allow for the reduction of the following, in addition, not by a judge, but the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction. So a judge isn't even going to be the one who reduces this sentence by 25%. It's going to be the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction. And sentence reductions can be for mere participation, not completion, in specific prison programs, in non-specific prison programs. So they don't even have an idea or an agenda or a curriculum, if you will. So I guess it will just be, as written, it will just be up to the various Department of Rehabilitation Correction personnel to decide whether somebody successfully completed or attempted to complete this program. This will reduce their sentence by 25%. These crimes are included in this: attempted murder, felonious assault, gross sexual imposition, aggravated arson, and human trafficking. So if the drugs are a component of one of those crimes, you can have your sentence reduced by 25% by just participating in this. We're coming out strong on the side of on the criminal justice law enforcement side. I've gotten some letters from task force. I actually haven't seen anybody in favor of this particular measure. One of the other things that it does, by pushing these felonies all down to misdemeanors, we're going to be housing them in our counties. We're going to be housing them in our jails. They won't be in state prisons. We're going to pick up the tab for that. And as you know, we're in the process of looking at building a new jail, and some of the estimates are in the $40 million range. And now we're going to push these state prisoners down to the county level. We're going to pay for that. The other thing that Mr. Wheeler discovered today was that the cost of these programs, we're going to pay for those. So they're pushing these costs down to the local level for these folks who shouldn't have historically been convicted of felony crimes and sent to state prison. I don't really see the advantage to this. One of the things that I feel pretty strongly about is that each individual should be a wide range of choices for a judge in dealing with a person in the probation or parole department. Not everybody should be treated the same. It depends on what the nature of the crime is. Well, this is taking away that stick. I mean, this takes away the one that, maybe his crime was heinous or his or her crime was heinous. Well, this allows for them to just enter and roll into something and have 25% of their sentence reduced. So there may be something I'm missing, and apparently a lot of other people are missing the upside of this. I've seen some things where they've touted about cost reduction at the state level. I don't think that helps us locally. I think the cost just gets pushed all the way down to us locally. So with that, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer that.
Like a good lane duck.
Yes.
Who did you say sponsors this?
They said it's an out-of-state. This was Dan Lutz, an out-of-state sponsor of Ohio constitutional amendment. I've heard, but I don't want to be incorrect.
That's correct.
About.
Hear about
so, George Soros?
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg is a large sponsor of it as well.
Okay. That should send up a red flag, at least it does for me. If Ohio sponsored this, it would probably be something that we would probably have a little bit more credibility. It's a little odd that somebody from outside the state of Ohio wants to give us the most lenient drug laws in the country. So I don't think it's good to be on either end, to be honest with you. I don't think it's good to be on the strictest end of every law that there is, and I certainly don't think we want to be on the lenient side either. I think a measured approach somewhere in the middle is better. I just feel that this just takes something off the table, and why? I
would also just echo in your comments, but also point out that this is a constitutional or proposed constitutional amendment, which is much more difficult to repeal. And that seems to be the approach that many of these sort of controversial laws are taking, is making them into constitutional amendments. Since they're not going through the legislative process, it's not sponsored by local or statewide legislators. So out-of-state in this instance, you know, pretty far out of state, sponsors are proposing an amendment to our Constitution, our Ohio Constitution, that would be permanent and very difficult to repeal or amend or revise. So that is, to me, the most troublesome aspect of this, notwithstanding the content and the material aspects of it.
I see it as almost an insult after what we've just gone through with this opioid crisis where thousands of people have died, and we're talking about going the other direction with this. And I don't have a problem with, if it's the right person, getting some type of help in a rehabilitation type thing, but to completely take out the punishment side of the thing, I don't think is the answer for us.
Chief, and I can, and look at the language, there's no time frame. It's not like going forward. You can go back in time. If you've been convicted of a drug offense, whether you have or have not served your sentence, you can be petitioned to be resentenced and or released. Going backwards till the cows came home a long time ago. That's another. That would be a huge cost to the state as well.
Go ahead.
Chief, I appreciate coming here tonight, shared some good information. Do you know of any statistics from any other states that are looking at this? Or
I don't, and I'm not sure that there's, I really don't know what the other states are,
I don't know,
are doing, how far they've gone with this proposal, but I don't. But I will say this:
Colorado's already passed it.
Yeah, and you know, when it's an aggressive measure like this, where it's way out in left field, if you will, let another state find out first, and we can make our determination based. If it's wild success, then I think all of us would be for it if you can prove that it's successful. But I don't know if I want to be on the pilot program and find out that we made a big mistake. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else have any questions for Chief? Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say that I appreciate, I think it was Director Wheel and the Chief shared this Ohio Task Force Commander Association letter, and there's some good information in there. I was really surprised to read one of the statements in here. Says the proposed amendment to the Ohio Constitution would make the possession of any amount of narcotics a misdemeanor offense, which you had mentioned that, punishable with less sanctions than driving without a license. It goes on to say, that's right, a drug violator could conceivably be caught with a tractor trailer full of cocaine, heroin, or fentanyl and could not be sentenced to one day in jail if convicted, unless, of course, the violator just happened to be driving without a valid license. Then he or she could be sentenced up to 180 days in jail. And that just puts it in perspective. I don't know what these people were thinking. And then, you know, I get the pro side of that, you know, for somebody that's, you know, struggling with addiction or whatever. You know, but there's on the second page of this Ohio Task Force letter, it says, current inmate statistics provided by the Department of Corrections show that there are 49,512 persons incarcerated in Ohio prisons. And out of that, 14.89% are for drug-related offenses, and 5.4% are incarcerated for drug abuse, which represents 0.0000023% of Ohio's residents. So we're talking about a real small. So here we go, trying to legislate for a very minute population, but you know, certainly there's a big negative side to that, to the other population that we will be releasing into the public. And you know, this I've seen this just like House Bill 5 and you know, net profit loss and net operating loss. We continue to see things at the state level. That's great. They're saving money. But you're right, Chief. It'll fall back on the municipalities and the counties. And man, I just hope we get somebody in this next round of elections that's going to start thinking a little different. But I'll get off my soapbox with that. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
One more.
Hang on a second.
We were, no, that's okay, Chief, you're okay. We were alerted to this from the Ohio Municipal League, and just to point out that we are by no means the only community that is doing something like this. Just about any municipality that is worried about this is doing the same thing, because it is, not only is it very scary as far as just what it could do for leniency for drug offenses, but it's the financial burden that was talked about that's all going to get dumped back on to the local entities. That's the biggest concern in that financial part of it. So, important.
Anyone else have any questions or comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Ms. Barr Sr.?
Yes.
Sportman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Move resolution number 2718 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Sportman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Thank you. That ends our new business for this evening, and thank you, Council, for approving this. I very strongly agree that it should not be part of our Constitution in the state of Ohio. Anyone have anything for the good of the order tonight? Yes, sir.
I move to adjourn.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Spears.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Sportman?
Yes.
You have to vote for him.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting this evening. We're now adjourned.
Chain Zach is on the board of advocacy.